Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about punishment of evildoers. Full transparency, I watch this podcast every morning, part of my routine. It's Timcast IRL, Timcast in real life, and it's from Tim Pool, and it's him and a couple or three other people, and it's really an eclectic mix of viewpoints. I disagree with Tim Pool vehemently on several different things. He is way more of a classical liberal than he is a conservative right-wing individual. However, because he has some sense of reality and he's able to look at the world and the state of things that are now, and he's able to make commentary on those things, and he's somewhat center of the political aisle, the people on the far left, or the people on the left period, say that he's far right and an extremist and a conservative and this, that, and the other. And he literally has the same view on abortion that the classic liberals had in the 80s and 90s. That doesn't make it right. I mean, because the view of abortion from the left side of the political aisle is it ought to be a woman's choice up to a certain amount of time. And of course, Tim Pool is very averse to late term abortion. He is in favor of outlawing abortion once the baby is viable. And he fully understands that with the progression of technological advancement, with the advancement of technology, I should say, that abortion window is going to close more and more. Because now, I mean, you can have a baby that's viable like 22 weeks. Well, that's a very secular viewpoint. Now, for us as Christians, we know that life begins at conception, and science agrees with us. And our political viewpoints on that is going to be, look, abortion needs to be completely outlawed because it's murder. So I just wanted to give you a taste of that. But I watched Tim Pool because he has an eclectic mix of viewpoints on his shows. He always has a guest, and he always has a couple or three other folks that are associated with his kind of compound. And it's really neat. You got to watch it. You got to be careful. They use worldly language from time to time, and they talk about worldly things, and they don't always run it through a filter of what we would consider wholesome entertainment. But anyway, the reason you're getting this podcast this morning is because I was watching it, and Tim Pool covered a news story about, is it governor or mayor? I'd have to look. Anyway, New York City. The National Guard has been called in to New York City because the crime is absolutely so terrible that they need outside help, number one. And number two, specifically, the National Guard is being deployed, folks, in the subway stations, in the subways, rather. Now, I've never been to New York as far as traveling and doing the subways and stuff, but we lived in Toronto for a year. And something that you might not know about me, this doesn't have anything to do with the podcast or Jesus or nothing. Folks, I could live in a city like Toronto. I absolutely loved it. I loved that big city life. I loved the fact that I stood out like a sore thumb. I loved the fact that I grew up in the country and I have this kind of resilience about me and this can-do, get-it-done mentality. And I just liked being there. I did very well in Toronto. That's all I'm going to say about that. It was really fun. And it was really rewarding. We really got to know the city and got to know the people. And it was great. Anyway, that being said, the subway system is, if you're not used to it, it can be a little daunting, and it's a vulnerability. For instance, it's typically a way, like you have a feeling of seclusion, you have a false sense of privacy, and you kind of lose track of your surroundings if you don't watch it. And these miscreants in New York City, they have taken to beating the dickens out of people, crime, pushing people in front of the subway trains as the train comes by. So much so, again, that the National Guard has had to be called in. Can you imagine? Now, how in the world, what is the remedy for this? And I've gone back and forth on this throughout my lifetime because I have a sense of fairness, and I'm a little soft sometimes when it comes to punishment. And, well, just quite frankly, I'm a little soft sometimes when it comes to punishment. And you might not be able to reconcile my saying that with what you know of me, but even though I'm soft on punishment, I still have a sense of character and morality and what is right. So I allow that to override my proclivities. Anyway, before we go much further, Dinah Harden, Terry Crooks, good to see y'all. There's several folks of you in. Thank you so much. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share. Don't forget to go to the YouTube and Christianity Now. Christianity Now streams on YouTube. Be sure and subscribe. We need 500 subscribers, and I think we're going to hit that before too long. Folks, it won't be long for our YouTube channel is monetized. And I will say this, don't forget about our Rumble channel. If you haven't checked us out on Rumble, now we're not doing a whole lot on Rumble. We're focusing more on the YouTube, but we are uploading from time to time videos on Rumble. And I've just put a link in the comment section. You can click that link and you can subscribe to our Rumble channel there. And we'll be doing more of that in the future. But in the comment section, you've got a link to the article for Substack. We would love for you to click on that, subscribe for free. Go to Christianity Now Streams and subscribe and follow us on Rumble. Now, let's get into this. First off, I want to talk about the remedy. What is the remedy? Listen to the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Because this is verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I remember having a conversation with a contemporary, a student, and we were talking about the utility of the death penalty and punishment and prison systems and prison reform. And I was a little hesitant. I was like, you know, I get it. You know, the death penalty is authorized by God. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Whosoever shall shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So that's the death penalty, okay? Now, humanity as a whole no longer has authority for the death penalty. It's a government institution. So you have a society that's been given the death penalty. Now, how do we know that? I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we know that from Romans chapter 13, because the powers that be, the governmental agents, they wield the sword of vengeance against evildoers. The reason why New York is having the problems that they're having is because the sentence of evildoers is not being carried out quickly or at all. Here is an article from CBS News. Oh, they've got a reader's view version. That's awesome. So, Hochul deploys National Guard troops to New York City subway amid rising crime numbers. This was updated March 7th, 2024 at 5:44 a.m. Eastern. So we're talking, this is like hot off the press. So following a series of violent incidents in the New York City subway system, Governor Kathy Hochul announced a new 5-point safety plan that includes bringing in hundreds of National Guard troops and adding new security cameras. Like that's like plastering the walls. That's like putting wallpaper up or plaster up on the walls of a house that's burning down. You've got to stop the fire. You've got to punish the evildoers instead of just dealing with the symptoms of what the evildoers are doing. Hochul announced that a combined 1,000 personnel, including 750 National Guard troops, along with the MTA police, would be deployed in the subway system to help the New York City Police Department conduct bag checks in an effort to keep weapons off of trains. That's so stupid. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, if New York wants to make sure that you don't take any weapons on the trains, I get it. But this is just another case of communism and socialism and all that good stuff, this liberal agenda, and they're punishing people who are not committing crimes because of the people who are committing crimes. You don't strip law-abiding citizens of their liberties and make their life difficult because other people are committing crimes. That's like saying, we really need to do something about the deaths caused every year from driving drunk. These drunk drivers are out here, they're drinking, they're driving, and they're causing death. So what we're going to do is we are going to restrict the driving of the people who don't drink. Think about how stupid that is. All right. Let me just be very, very clear, Hochul said. These brazen, heinous attacks on our subway system will not be tolerated. Well, that's not what you've communicated thus far. And we're going to talk about that in a moment before we get into looking at the scripture. This followed Mayor Eric Adams' announcement Tuesday to add more police officers and reinstitute bag checks. I know how it plays out on your psyche when you hear about some random acts of violence, and that's why we must be proactive, Adams told CBS New York in an interview earlier Wednesday ahead of Hochul's announcement. The governor and mayor both argued the new safety plan will protect both passengers and transit workers. However, within an hour of its announcement, another subway conductor was attacked. The conductor was struck in the head with a bottle at the East 170th Jerome Avenue station in the Bronx, the NYPD said. So think about that. If I get on the subway in New York and I have a bottle of water that's plastic, do you understand how much damage I could do to somebody with a bottle of water, even though the bottle of water is plastic? Are you going to consider that a weapon? Are you going to not allow me to take a bottle of water onto the subway? What about my pocket knife? What about my keys? What if I've got an ink pen right here. Now, this is a cross ink pen. But you can purchase an ink pen like this, that's ballistic, or tactical. It's made out of titanium, and it's got a solid end, and they sell it for being able to bust windshields, okay? Would you consider this a weapon? In the bag check, you see this cylindrical piece of metal, and it's an ink pen, it writes, but would you say, no, you can't carry that on the subway because it's a weapon? You can use it as a weapon. What if, as a jeweler, I have a little screwdriver like this that sets into my shirt pocket? Are they going to confiscate that? I mean, I could use that as a weapon. It's so stupid. You're punishing people who are law-abiding for the crimes of people who break the law. Adams, mayor, speaks ahead of the announcement. In Wednesday's interview with CBS New York, both the mayor, who was noticeably absent during the governor's announcement, and the New York City Police Department transit chief, Michael Kemper, defended the bag checks as an important safety tool. We are instituting random bag checks. They are random. They are not profiling. They are random. Yeah, okay. Including with what they're doing, checking bags to make sure explosive or illegal weapons are not entering the subway system, it's also creating another sense of presence. City Hall sources told CBS New York that each week the NYPD would deploy 94 bag screening teams at 136 stations, about one-third of the 472 stations in the system. So here's Holcomb's 5-point plan. Hello, Sword and Pearl. It's good to see you. And Ben Grady, going Bourne Identity. Anything can be a weapon if it's in the wrong hands or in desperate hands for self-defense. Absolutely. The Muslim apologist. Don't be stupid. Your Bible says you can beat your slaves. It justifies torture and slavery. That's why I'm a Muslim. Well, if you want to have an arms race, your book and your foolish false prophet Muhammad, well, you don't want to go there. There he is, the Muslim apologist. Boy, I'd hate to have that job. I would hate to have that job. All right. Yeah, anything can be a weapon in the wrong hands. Absolutely, Ben. So here's Hochul's 5-point plan. In addition to the bad checks, Hochul's plan includes amending the state law to ban repeat offenders. That's good. I don't know what that means by that. Installing cameras in each conductor's cabin. That's okay. I think you need, that would be good. $20 million for mental health outreach, huh? I don't understand that. Four, a plan to improve coordination between police officers and district attorneys to go after repeat offenders, the suspects who seem to make all the headlines that scare people. Yeah, that's good. You need to find a way, and that's back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Folks, you've got to get the criminals off the street. It's recidivism. The system has to be amended so it doesn't promote recidivist. Okay. Cause right now you have, it's been called a revolving door in New York. In other words, you commit a crime, you go to your court date, and many times the very same day you're out on the street committing more crime. And there have been stories to come out of New York that the same individual is picked up for petty crimes during the same day on multiple occasions. Hochul goes on to say, there's a psychological impact. People worry they could be next, Hochul said. The mayor is on board. We have a recidivist problem. When you look at the subway system, we have 38 people who were arrested for assaulting just transit workers. Now listen to it. I want y'all to lean in and listen to this one. 38 people committed 1,126 crimes in our city. 38 people committed over 1,100 crimes in the city. Well, why don't you just get those 38 people off the street? Transit riders had mixed feelings about whether the bag checks will improve safety. How many people do you know that actually carry a knife or a gun in their bag when it is they are ready to stick you up? Oh, hold up. I'm going to go into my bag. It doesn't make sense, one person said. Well, that's just racial profiling. It's just a way to solve a fake problem that's not there, another person said. And it's right. All you have to do to fix this is start enforcing the laws that are already on the book. Folks, we have a system set up in the world to punish the evildoers. And again, I promise you, we're going to get into that. I just wanted to go through this article. I've got to trust the NYPD. If they feel that there's a cause and it's not discriminatory, that's the real issue. We've got to keep our city safe, but it's got to be equitable, another person said. What they're doing is they're going back to the times where New York City had this stop and frisk and broken window policing. And what happened is, because statistically, everything skewed towards the poorer parts of the city. And so it really looked like you was targeting one particular demographic of people. And there was some issues with that. by the way. And incidentally, I believe it was under Mayor Bloomberg. That being said, I can see why New Yorkers would be like, New Yorkers should just be, listen, don't waste all this money and this effort. Whenever you arrest somebody, make sure they don't get back out on the street. That's so easy. Just enforce the laws that you already have. Quit being so easy on crime. New York City subways are crazy. You don't know what to anticipate anymore. I would rather the bag checks than end up dead, another said. That's just fear-mongering. I know these are difficult times in many ways, and I've been through bag checks before. They do them at theaters. I can do it if I have to do it, another added. So in a statement, the New York Civil Liberties Union said in part, these heavy-handed approaches will, like stop and frisk, be used to accost and profile black and brown New Yorkers, ripping a page straight out of the Giuliani playbook. Mayor Giuliani did institute the stop and frisk, but it was under Bloomberg that it really got out of control. Anyway, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, be careful. I haven't done my research on that. Sword and Pearl says at the Muslim Apologist, if that's the reason you're a Muslim, it's a weak one. Absolutely. And listen, I know I dismissed that guy pretty quickly, but I do not believe he was coming in honestly. And I'm not going to let him hide. I mean, we're not talking about that. That wouldn't be a bad episode of a podcast. But anyway, let's finish this article. We're almost done. We got one more paragraph. Richard Davis, the head of the Transport Workers Union, said the measures don't go far enough and that the 1,000 National Guardsmen and MTA police cannot be temporary. That is so scary, folks. That is a military presence. That's a literal, not hyperbolic, literal, not metaphorical, a literal military police, a militarized police unit. I reside in New York and I've observed that individuals who repeatedly engage in criminal behavior often struggle with drug-related issues. The decriminalization of drugs seems to be contributing to an increase in crime, Terry Crooks. Absolutely. That's what people don't understand. Okay. Not you, sister. Not you. Sorry. I'm a little keyed up in my emotional part of my brain. Bear with me. Generally, that's what well-meaning folks don't understand. Well, I just don't know what, I mean, so they shoplift. They're not violent. No, look, statistics bear this out. People who break laws, break laws. You move from a category of law-abiding to law-breaking, and the person that commits murder, he didn't start committing murder. He led a life outside of the confines of the law. So what if you have a person who is, now this is tragic. You've got to separate from your emotions. I have to separate from my emotions. So you've got a guy, he's in New York. He's down on his luck. He starts dabbling in drugs. He's homeless. He's doing what it takes to live in that life. He's outside of the law anyway. He doesn't respect the law. And he's already been in front of the judge 7 or 8 times. He knows the city is soft on crime. And now he's so desperate that he escalates and he meets Sister Terry Crooks when she's walking down the street, and she has a handbag that he thinks might have money. He goes up, snatches the handbag. You see, it's an escalation, but she clinches and holds it close. And so she is hit in the head and she suffers a traumatic brain injury because this guy was a recidivist. Whenever, if they would have picked him up, whenever he shoplifted, his first item or his first set of items that are over X amount of dollars, if he'd been serving a couple or 3 years in the pen, he wouldn't have been out on the street to do that to somebody. Folks, the problem is this bail reform, this criminal reform. It's listen to this. 10 career criminals. Let me see if I can find the date to this. Now this is all the way back in 2022. All right. So this was like 2 years ago. And let me show you this. This is from the New York Post, which I do not think is a left wing. I think it's a right wing or centrist. Anyway, a small group of just 10 career criminals was allowed to run amok across the Big Apple and rack up nearly 500 arrests after New York enacted its controversial bail reform law. So think about this. We're time traveling back to 2022. We're trying to figure out why the mayor and the governor had to call in the National Guard to deal with recidivism, to deal with criminals. Okay. Well, all the way back in 2022, this bail reform law was passed, and most of those criminals are still out on the streets. Most of these 10 career criminals are still out on the streets that racked up nearly 500 arrests during the time period right after the bail reform was passed. Stunning statistics compiled by the NYPD and obtained first by the Post show that the city's alleged worst of the worst repeat offenders have been busted a total of 485 times since the bail reform. So 10 criminals in 2 years, from 2020 to 2022, 10 criminals in 2 years have been busted a total of 485 times. And many of them are still out on the streets as of the writing of this article. Two of the defendants are actually accused of embarking on lives of crime in the wake of bail reform, with one busted 33 times since 2020 and the other busted 22 times all this year, according to the data. Mayor Eric Adams, who's been demanding that the state legislators roll back the bail reform law to crack down on repeat offenders, expressed outrage. Our criminal justice system is insane, the mayor said. It is dangerous, it is harmful, and it is destroying the fabric of our city. Well, duh. If you don't punish criminals, they keep getting worse and worse. Listen to the Bible, folks. Because the sentence against an evildoer is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. There is no reform when there is no punishment. Adams added, time and time again, our police officers make an arrest, and then the person who is arrested for assault, felonious assault, robberies, and gun possessions, these are not nonviolent crimes, folks. They're finding themselves back on the streets within days, if not hours, after their arrest. And they go on to commit more crimes within weeks, if not days. The New York City Police Department's list of notable career criminals is topped by Harold Gooding, who's been busted a total of 101 times, with 88 coming since bail reform was enacted. Larceny charges account for 74% of the recent arrest, which all took place in Manhattan, where District Attorney Alvin Bragg has come under fire for the soft-on-crime policies he imposed after taking office on January the 1st. Y'all, I'm going to look up larceny to make sure I know what it is. Larceny, theft of personal property. So I would imagine that there's different degrees of larceny, probably felonious larceny and different stuff, plus comorbid. What would you say, comorbid, when it's the law? Anyway, plus aggravating circumstances. All right. The career crook has 15 convictions, including 3 felonies, and he failed to appear in court at least 14 times. Memphis is dealing with a horrible district attorney and bad bail policy. It's based on the criminal's ability to pay rather than on the severity of the crime. That is absolutely nuts, Facebook user. Incidentally, I'm calling you Facebook user because I don't know who you are. It just shows me Facebook user, but thank you for commenting. Yeah. And that's the thing. And let me tell you something. I remember in 1997, 98, whenever I was living in South Haven, Mississippi, I fell in with a ne'er-do-well sort. And I know how corrupt Memphis is. I knew how corrupt it was back then. I mean, it's the murder capital of the United States at one time, right in Tennessee. And incidentally, every city that has problems like this, all of the people in charge that passed policies that created these problems, there's two sides of the political aisle. Guess which side they're on? Gooding, this career criminal, has also violated parole and probation and has two pending prosecutions for thefts from various Target stores on five separate occasions. He's considered a chronic petty larceny, grand larceny recidivist. That's what I was going to be looking for earlier, petty larceny versus grand larceny. So New York City Police Department Chief of Crime Control Strategies, Michael Lipteri, said during Wednesday news, wow, he's considered a chronic petty and grand larcenist. He's hit one location 20 times. The same location 20 times. And again, we're talking about arrest here. We've arrested that individual 100 times. How many crimes do you think he really committed? Boy, that's a good point, isn't it? All right. We're done with that. I want to get to the Bible. We spent enough time. So, what the story that I didn't finish earlier, I was talking about public execution. When I say public, execution, in other words, the death penalty. And the person that I was talking to, older and wiser than me for sure, I opined, well, I just don't know how effective execution is at deterring crime. To which the person I was speaking to replied, for the person who is being executed, it's 100% effective. And boy, that hit home. I was like, makes sense. Incarceration is punitive first, before we worry about reforming. According to the scriptures, if you kill a man, if you kill a human being, and if you take an innocent life, your right to life that is given by God is forfeit. And of course, the decider of that would be the government. Now, we can talk about how effective the government is in those decidings, because as Abraham pointed out to God, he asked the rhetorical question, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And it is from that exchange with God and Abraham about the cities of the plains, Sodom, Gomorrah, and the three others, where we get this idea in our jurisprudence. And I can't remember who said it. You'd have to Google this, but somebody said it's better for one guilty man to go. No, it's better for 100 guilty men to go free than for one innocent man to be punished. Because once you start punishing the innocent, your system has deteriorated to the point where it is no longer of any use. Well, I'm afraid that's what's happening in New York City. I really, really am. And Memphis and several of our cities around the nation. Remember, I'm going to read it again. Because sentence against an evil work is not carried out speedily or not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If you knew, like take for instance, in the old days, whenever the society out west, the city had the authority, a sheriff could deputize a posse and they could go after a horse thief, and when they caught him with the stolen goods, they could hang him from the highest tree. You have a short drop and a quick stop. a tall tree and a short rope, all that good stuff. You're still going to have people that steal horses. But man, you're going to deter an awful lot of folks. That's something to think about. There's also something to consider in this that I forgot just now. Proverbs, this might be a little abstract. I think it's Proverbs 12:10. Yeah. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. How come it's illegal to mistreat an animal? How come it's illegal to do dog fighting? How come it's illegal to do cock fighting? At least in the United States of America and Canada, and most areas of the world. Why is it illegal to do that? Because of the kind of people that participate in those events, and because of all of the crime and criminal activity around them. Think about that. A person who will mistreat a dog, it's not but a little old hop, skip, and a jump to mistreating a human. Think about it. Listen to what the Proverbs writer says. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. So a man who's righteous, a man who's upright, a man who's concerned with morality, he doesn't mistreat his animals. He takes care of them. But a wicked person, even when they're trying to be tender and merciful, they come off as cruel. Now, you've got these people in New York. You got these people in Memphis. They're hooked on drugs. They don't have any moral compass. They'll steal anything that's not latched down. But they don't possess any depth of character or morality. And so what happens whenever they get desperate and they find something that they want that is latched down? Well, they'll break into it. They'll steal it. So that's an escalation. What happens when they find somebody that has something that they want that could help them? Now they've progressed from petty larceny, shoplifting, and stuff like that to actual violence against another human being. That's why this is so important, folks. That's why it's important that we punish evildoers. If we don't punish the evildoers, then our society devolves into anarchy. Now, who gets to do the punishing? That's a weird way of saying that. Who has to do the punishing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. I'm just going to read this section, and then I'm going to offer some commentary. Romans 13, starting in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the same? Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Sorry. Well, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So you don't have to be afraid of the power. You don't have to be afraid of the government. Just do what the government says. Whenever the government doesn't contradict God. Why? Why do we have that assurance from Scripture? Because when the government's doing what the government's supposed to do, when they're acting within the purview of their authority, for he, verse 4, is the servant, the minister of God to thee for good. The government's actually on your side. But if thou do that which is evil, you need to be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Well, what sword are we talking about? I'm glad you asked. Listen, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience. For this cause I... Well, that stinks. I cannot believe that nobody's run any water. I don't know why that water heater came on. All right. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. All right. So let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and get the context of this. Recompense, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. Don't take your vengeance in your own hand. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that you can't defend yourself in a situation. But if something happens to you, you can't go and seek vengeance yourself. We talked about this with the self-defense podcast. If you come home and you find somebody in the process of harming your family and stealing your goods, you have the authority from God to neutralize that threat in whatever way you're able, up to and including ending that person's life. But what you cannot do is if you come home and you find all of your goods removed from the house and you find your family harmed and you look on your Ring camera and you see it was Ned Smith from down the road, you can't go and take vengeance on Ned Smith. You've got to turn it over to the government. Okay, that's what this scripture's teaching me. It is the government's responsibility to punish evildoers, folks. They use the sword of vengeance. Christians depend on the government, because that is God's chosen method for vindication. We don't take that into our own hands. There's no longer a law of lex talionis. There's no longer an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If we are harmed, once that threat is over, the only way to take vengeance is we give it to God, and God has given it to the powers that be. And if they're not acting in the way they're supposed to act, the beautiful thing about the blessings of God in Western culture is we have the ability to get new officers in the government that are going to do right. And my suggestion is make sure that if you live in the United States, is if you live in Canada, you put people in power that are going to do godly things regardless of whether or not they're godly people. I know that's oxymoronic in our ears, but I promise it makes sense. You got a guy that says, well, I hate God and I think church is stupid, but we got to punish evildoers. We got to protect babies in the womb, and we can't allow teachers and other adults to have conversations with children that are not theirs about sex. Folks, that guy has my vote. I'm not going to invite him to the Riverview Church of Christ to hold a gospel meeting, but that guy's got my vote. It blows my mind. All of the problems that this old world faces, he did not. Hey, hey, Alabama, you are absolutely correct. God never gave anyone permission to be cruel to anyone. Yeah, in fact, even when the government is executing vengeance against an evildoer, they shouldn't be cruel. They shouldn't dehumanize that individual. It should be a grave thing that's done with reverence and respect. Yeah. Which is why look, there's some actual issues that we need to deal with. I mean, I think prison reform. I think we've privatized prisons, and there's too much of a profit in prisons. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a economist. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm thinking maybe prison reform is needed. But that being said, you can't tackle all things at all times at once. That don't make any sense. You can't tackle everything at once. You gotta, like, if you're going to eat an elephant, which reforming the political side of Western culture, this society, it's like eating an elephant. You got to sit down and start one bite at a time. And the best thing that I can do with that, the best thing that I could tell folks there is, make sure you're a Christian first. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and then use every means available to you to affect change. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Go ye into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature, but start with the person across the road from you. Change the people in your area of influence. Start local and make sure it's legal when it comes to politics. You know, whenever we moved to Arkansas, we weren't there 3 months whenever somebody knocked on the door, handed me a card, and said, I'm running for some circuit judge. I'd like your vote. And I said, well, I don't know what your platform would be. He said, well, it's a judgeship, so there's not really a platform. I said, I need to know whether or not are you left wing or right wing? Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Because how you associate will tell me how you're going to judge from the bench. I hate to be that way, but it is just the case. But you start local. And something that I've seen from my fellow Christians, a lot of them are trying to get into politics through the school board, through city councils. We need, look, if Congress and the president were all progressive Democrats and all the local bodies in the states were run by conservatives that wanted to conserve Judeo-Christian values that's built on principles from God's word, it wouldn't matter who the president was and Congress was. Local is the way to go. Hey, Alabama says, I'm not anyone's slave other than a slave to Jesus. He never beat anyone. That he didn't. All right, folks. I think we've covered the topic probably more than even we should. I got a really good show map here. Yeah, well, I guess I did introduce it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Yep. Folks, hopefully I've said something today that's informed you and edified you. I hope I have stirred up in you a desire to affect change at your local level. Affect change in your life. Be that voice of reason. I frequently hear people attribute the rise in crimes to mental illness. I often wonder why individuals with mental health conditions today seem to struggle more with self-control compared to those who were mentally unstable 20 or more years ago. I think, Terry Crooks, you hit on a very good question to ask. One of the problems with this society today is we want to, quote unquote, pathologize the human condition. Terry Crooks, did you wake up this morning in the best mood of your life? Oh, you didn't? Well, you must be depressed. Because if you're sad, well, that's depression. And we don't want you to feel depressed, so we want to prescribe you a pill so you will no longer feel sad. that's basically what it is. Oh, we can't. I get nervous around crowds. Well, maybe you should be nervous around crowds. Maybe that's God's defense mechanism saying, hey, I'm in a crowd with a bunch of people. I have no idea who they are, what they're doing, or what they're capable of. So I'm going to be a little bit vigilant. But that's a mental illness because now you have social anxiety disorder. Well, I just feel worthless and depressed all the time because I get up in the morning and I splash water in my face. I get ready. I go to work and I work all day and then I come home and I'm doing the same thing over and over again. Like, yeah, that's life. Welcome to life. Get a hobby. Learn how to focus your life and orient yourself towards the highest possible good of which you can conceive and live towards that. Understand that this mundane existence is the means whereby you actually live. But we want to pathologize the human condition. Well, you know, I don't do well at work. I just this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, tell me what your morning routine is. Well, I get up in the morning, I rush. I drink a cup of coffee on the way to work and I start working. And, you know, I have these heart palpitations. I'm anxious. I'm this, that, and the other. I have these intrusive thoughts. Have you ever thought about eating some bacon and eggs before you go to work? It may be that you're running in starvation mode until you can eat and your body's not designed to do that. So you have your body, your system is all jacked up. And so you think it's a mental health issue, but when actually you're just hungry, dummy. I'm serious. Google that and look at all the stuff that comes up. Jordan Peterson has talked about it. He said some of his patients that were experiencing these symptoms and everything, he said, I just ask them, what do you eat for breakfast? They don't say anything. He said, well, your homework between sessions is every morning you're to wake up and you're to fix yourself two eggs and some sausage, or, you know, you need to have some good fat, some carbs and stuff like that. And he said, you'd be surprised how many people's mental health issues go away when they get their gut right. But you see, we want to pathologize the human condition. Can't pathologize the human condition. Are you scared? Then you got to still act. You still got to do. Are you anxious? You still got to do. I mean, what do you do? You just crawl under your bed and die? Terry Crooks. These people with mental health conditions just don't have any self-control. It's they do. They're just not held accountable. Hello, Sheila Coles. Good to see you. Sword and Pearl says, amen. Awesome show, Tony. Thank you so much, guys. I got to get out of here. Remember, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, that is the remedy for all this. Let's make sure that we're doing everything we can to affect positive change in our circle of influence. God bless every one of you. I hope I've said something here that's made you think and edified you and informed you. Remember, if you want to support the show, you can do so by sending a tip or a sum of money to www.nearchurches@gmail.com. It's on the screen. You can also do a $5 a month subscription at Substack. Be sure and subscribe to Christianity Now Streams on YouTube. That'll help us out a lot, by the way. And then don't forget about Rumble. And a couple of you went over to TikTok. Thank you for that. If we get 1,000 subscribers on TikTok, which incidentally it happens rapidly. TikTok's just a little different animal. But we can live stream on TikTok, and TikTok really rewards the live streaming. So I would love to start doing that. Anyway, God bless every one of you. I appreciate your help. Appreciate your help with the brand and your support with your chats and shares and your monetary support. God bless every one of you. Be sure and subscribe to Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Search Cogitations, and you'll be able to find the archive for these podcasts. God bless you, and we'll catch you on the flip side.